Nekudos that came out of Shir yesterday, and we'll go on. We have a member of Rav Chisda that Rav Nachum ben Akana would be Moda in a case where the Chiyuv Mamun preceded the Chiyuv Kares by a case of Gonev Chelbo Shechaber V'Achlo. We noted that seemingly it's obvious that a Chiyuv Mamun that comes before a Chiyuv Misa, Chiyuv Kares, would not be exempted. So, Bechal, what's the Chiddush of Rav Chisda? The Rashba, B'Shem Ramban, mentions that Rav Chisda had in mind the point of Rav Ovin, and the distinction that the Gemara is going to make between him and Rav Ovin could be. We also suggested that the fact that this was all one Maisa that came about from the Geneva, he ended up eating it, makes this case different than Stam, a situation where a person did a Maisa Gneva 1 hour and did a Maisa Tzmachai Misa another hour. Obviously, there's no question in that case that he wouldn't be exempted from the Chiv Mamon. But the fact that it was one extended process where he took someone's Chelev, stole it, eat it, ate it, all of this is why you might suggest that the Chiv Mamon would be exempted. That's of Chizdas Chiddush. The Gemara wants to know how to relate Rav Chisda to that of Rav Ovin. Rav Ovin was Mechadish, the Yesod of Akir Tzarech Hanacha. The case Rav Ovin gave was somebody who shot an arrow, and he was over Melechus Shabbos, where Dalet Amos B'Shus HaRabin, Akira Hanacha, Havaras Dalet Amos, and at the same time, while it's happening, he was Mazik. The arrow ripped someone's clothing. Says Rav Ovin that he's Patur because it's Akir Tzarech Hanacha. Says the Gemara, why not say the same thing in the case of Rav Chisda, Hagbar Tzarech Achila? The Gemara is going to give two distinctions between the cases. Distinction number one, that in the case of Rav Ovin, we say Akira Tzarech Anacha because E.F. Shal Anacha Velo Akira, whereas in the case of Rav Chisda, we don't say that Hagbar Tzarech Achila because, after all, you don't need the Hagbar Iboy Gachin V'Achil. Second distinction, in the case of Rav Ovin, it's irreversible. Whereas in the case over here, Matzi Mehedela, it's not irreversible. He doesn't end up having to be Chayav Karis and eating the Chelev. We have to know so many things over here. What's the Pshat in the two Tzivutim, the Gemara? And what's the Pshat in the Gemara's Kasha? What does Akira Tzarech Hanacha really mean? And we're just beginning to scratch the surface. So, first of all, the very question the Gemara requires an explanation. First glance, you hear the cases and you don't understand what the shaykhus is. Because seemingly, it's obvious that when it comes to Melechus Shabbos, Akira is part of the Melacha. You're not chayiv without Akira, and Akira has to be b'shgaga, and Hasra has to be before the Akira. It's part of the Mechayiv. So the actions of Mechayiv Misa has certainly begun with the Akira. However, when it comes to Achilas Chelev, it's clear that the Akira is the Mechayiv, not the Hagbah. So, simply that's an obvious distinction. So why would you think to apply the reasoning of Rav Ovin to the case of Rav Chisda? Obviously, Akira Tzarech Hanacha, but Hagbar Tzarech Achila, Mehecha Teisi, Hagbar is not part of the Mechayiv. Now, it could be, as we'll soon see, Mephishim, even later today, the Rashba, the Ra'up, this idea may actually lie within the first teretz of the Gemara, when the Gemara mentions the point of you need to have the Akira, Yefshel Anacha Belo Akira, over there you don't need to have the Agbah, that could very well be capturing this distinction. But even so, what would be the Pshat and Havamina? There is a lesson of Rashi. Rashi says, in explaining Kira Tzarech Anacha, Mehi Shaita Aschelu HaMalacha. What does that mean? Pnei Yeshua understood Rashi to mean what the Gemara is going to say in the Teretz, that what makes Akira enough to say now that you can have come and drive me in a post the Akira even before the Hanacha, because Aschila Malacha, because the Yefshel Hanacha below Akira, which means in effect, says the Pnei Yeshua, that Rashi is giving us the secret of the Pshat that will only become clear when the Gemara gives the Terutzim that it gives, which is not unusual for Rashi to do. But certainly, when we ask the Kasha, we're not thinking quite in those terms. We don't quite know what it means. However, the Shita understands Rashi that the Gemara's Kasha is a Kasha because, and he explains, after all, seemingly the distinction should be clear. Akira Tzarech Hanacha seems to suggest that EF should anachah the law kira, which was the Gemara says in the Teretz. So, and that's exactly the answer to the kasha. So, what's the Gemara asking? Says the Shita, akir tzorach anachah can mean something else. The words can suggest that the kavan of the person, the shas akir, was to do anachah, that was going to get to anachah. And hagbar tzorach achila is also that. The hagbar was done with the intention that there would be an achila. And for the Gemara, that would have been enough to ask the kasha, because all you see in Rav Oven could be that point, not that the point of EF shu hanacha b'lo akira. Just the fact that there was an intention at the very beginning to get to the hanacha, in which case hadbar tzarach achila would also follow from that. Says the Shita, Rashi, who says aska malacha, had that in mind. Had that in mind. Aska malacha, in the sense from his mindset, it was aska malacha. He's already thinking about the hanacha. So in that sense, the akira is already for the sake of the hanacha. That's aska malacha. That's how he learns Rashi. Within this pshat, we maybe took it a little bit of a slightly different direction, but we wanted to understand the idea as follows, and then work into the teretz of the Gemara, because it's not clear in the Shita necessarily that when the Gemara gives the teretz, be it akira tzorach hanacha, if shel hanacha below akira, that the Gemara is making a total about face from the way that understood in the question, that the akira was for the sake of the hanacha. I mean, it also takes into account the fact that you need the akira. Clearly, that's what the Gemara says. That's what makes the case different. But the havana of how it works is not totally dramatically different than before. So we suggested, and we built off of the language of the Ramban that we'll eventually see, the language of the Ramban that the Chi of Misa is on its way, and he, like, paraphrasing Esav, Holech Lamus, right? That he's already on his way to dying. That idea might be explained as follows. Again, whether this is perfectly pshat in the Ramban, we'll have to see when we get to it, and even in terms of the Shita right now, but just to simply think about the construct. Basically, we are magdim, the fact that Rav Chizki doesn't speak stamazai about a case where a person is mechuyev mamon for whatever he did at 10 o'clock, and he happens to incur chiyuv misa at 11 o'clock. That doesn't need Rav Chizki, that's obvious. After all, clearly, there's no basis to use Kavan Ramine there. Rather, Rav Chizki is discussing a case where there was a connection inherent in the story. A person stole chelev, and then he went and he ate the chelev. And as the Shita says, he was intending all along to steal it and to eat it. Says Rav Chizki, nonetheless, there's no Kavan Ramine, because the Chiyuv Mamon occurred earlier, and therefore the Chiyuv Mamon, even though the Maisa sort of linked them, but the Chiyuv Mamon is separate and distinct and not associated and connected to the Chiyuv Misa. Now when Rav Oven comes along and he says that Akira Tzorach Hanacha, and he's partner for the Kriyas HaShirayim, what Rav Oven is saying in effect is that we don't see the Chiyuv Mamon as being distinct from the Chiyuv Misa. And why not? So here we can plug in that notion of Holech Lamus. Because since at the time that the Chiyuv Mamon is taking effect, there is already the framework for the Chiyuv Misa. There's already the Holech Lamus. It's already on its way. The Chiyuv Misa is hovering here over the story, and it's already in some sense in the air. There's already been the Akira, and it's already pending, it's going to be the Hanacha, and it's going to be the Chiyuv Misa. That framework indicates that the Chiyuv Mamon is not separate and distinct and separate from the Chiyuv Misa. Says the Gemara, if that's the logic, then why not apply it to Akbar Tzorach Achila too? Given the fact that he's going to eat it, and he picked up the chelev to eat it, and it's just a matter of a minute or two until he's going to eat it. So true, this was at 2 o'clock, and this was at 2:05. But the fact remains that, again, it was all one extended action, and it was for the sake of the achila, and it's all going to happen in a matter of minutes, and the hechsher for the achila was the Hagbah. So true, Hagbah is not technically part of the Mechayev, and Akira is. But that shouldn't really matter. That distinction is a distinction without a difference. It shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't matter necessarily. Because at the end of the day, what's Poter is not the Mechayev of the Misa. What's Poter is the Chiyuv Misa. Namely, the Chiyuv Misa of later, Pater is the Chiyuv Mamon that's with it, that accompanies it. The Shaila is, what's called accompanying it? If it happened 5 minutes earlier or an hour earlier, do we refer to that as accompanying the Chiyuv Misa? And that's part of the Shaila here. So to the extent that there's a whole Lech Lamus going on, so then the Chiyuv Mamon came into being at a time that the Chiyuv Misa is already in the air. It's a whole Lech Lamus situation. So from that perspective, there doesn't seem to be a basis to distinguish between the Machayev having started or the Lestam, the Hechsher of the Maisa. But nevertheless, that's what the Gemara is asking, that we should say there's a Machokas. And that, again, this is within the spirit of what the Shita is saying, that your intention was for the sake of getting there. I guess if I want to plug it back into Rashi, I would just have to maybe modify Aschila Melacha in a sense, not the Melacha as a Maisa, but the Chiyuv Misa of the Melacha. Maybe that's a bit of a dochik, but that's maybe what you have to do if you want to take this pshat, whatever it's worth, and work it into the Lashon again of Rashi. Again, I'm not saying this is Mamish the Shita, but it's you know, patterned after the Shita's pshat. And then the Aschila Melacha means the Chiyuv Misa. The Chiyuv Misa has begun. Okay, so now comes the Gemara and says, distinction number one. You can't link Rav Chisda's case to that of Rav Avin. Why? Because in the case of Rav Chisda, it's Iboi Gachin. In the case of Rav Avin, Iyaf Shalanacha Bela Akira. So if you want to understand, the Gemara is not completely changing the picture and the underlying dynamic. What it's going to mean is the following. What's considered to be that you're already, you know, in the framework of the Chiyuv Misa, the Chiyuv Mamon is coming about at the time that there's a framework already of the Chiyuv Misa, that the biyachad, the vasachas, it's associated. It's not just stam, the fact that you have in mind that you're going to do the next thing that's going to lead to Chiyuv Misa. It's the fact that you did already something that's essential for that Chiyuv to be, to exist. If you did Hagbah, it doesn't necessarily have to be that Hagbah is going to take place for the Tabachiyuv of Chiyuv Chelev. You can have Chelev eaten without Hagbah, Iboi Gachin. Whereas Hanacha, you need to have Akira. So again, it's not necessarily that we're saying the fact that it's part of the Machayev. Again, we'll see in other Rishonim perhaps that it is part of the Gemara's Teretz, but I'm going now within the Shita. It's simply that you have to have the Akira. It is the idea that you need it for the Chiyuv, but you need to have the Akira in order to have the Hanacha, to have the Chiyuv Misa. But that's when it's just a svara that's going to help us to understand why we say you're within the framework of the Chiyuv Misa. It's called Bevasachas. Second chiluk of the Gemara is that the association between the Chiyuv Mamon and the Chiyuv Misa depends on something else. Namely, if it's clear that it's going to lead to Chiyuv Misa, you can't turn the clock back, you can't pull the arrow back. It's irreversible. Then you could say, the Chiyuv Misa is already here. It's almost here. It's Holy Chalmus. But in the case of the Hagbah, the Chalav, where he may or may not eat it in the end, he wants to eat it. In fact, he wants to eat it, it's fine, but you know, he could still decide not to eat it. Maybe he'll, you know, he'll do tshuva at the last second. He won't eat it. You don't know for sure. It's not inevitable. So that's what makes this case different. So you can't say that when the Chiyuv Mamon emerges, it's already at a time that's linked to a Chiyuv Misa. It's the Chiyuv Misa of later. But if the Chiyuv Misa of later is already, we know it's going to be, then it's considered that the Chiyuv Misa of later has with it the Chiyuv Mamon. But it's not that it has it with it, because the Chiyuv Mamon didn't enter into the picture at a time that it's for sure going to be, that's going to come to the Chiyuv Misa. It's not a for sure Holy Chalmus. That's the second Torah. So both Tirutzim are both Svaris within the framework of that we're describing. Do I have here a Chiyuv Mamon Bivas Achas Bahadi a Chiyuv Misa or not? Okay, all this is nice and good in terms of just teaching the Gemara at least one possibility of reading the Gemara. The difficulty we're left with was the Lashon of Rashi. When Rashi explains the second svar of the Gemara, of Lo Matzi Ladura versus Matzi Ladura, Rashi says something which at first glance is very strange. Doesn't seem to be what we were expected. Rashi says, Lo Matzi Ladura, Mishizak Zachetz, therefore Mishas Akira Sofa Krolos Shirayim. The Tav de Akira, it's for sure ultimately going to cause the hezek. Rashi continues, Hachi Matzi Mahadala, Hilkach, we don't say, Mishas Hagba Asr Lala Achila, that the Achila has begun with the Hagba. The two Rashi seem to be, you know, not matching each other. In other words, what we would expect in terms of explaining the Gemara's Chiluk, what makes the cases different, vis-a-vis the second tariff of the Gemara, is that here, Matzi Adura, by the case of Chelev, therefore the Chiyuv Chelev is not yet here. The Achila and the liability for the Achila is not yet here just because it was a Hagba. Whereas when it comes to Chiyuv Misa by Akira and Anacha, when you shoot the arrow, then you could say that the Chiyuv of Shabbos is in some sense here because there's no turning back. So the issue is not the Shirayin that are ripped, it's the fact that the Hanacha is inevitable. So Rashi should have said, Sofa Lanuach. That's the obvious kasha. Bashash doesn't understand it. Maram Shif doesn't understand Rashi. That's where we more or less left off yesterday in this year. So what's the Peshat in Rashi? What does Rashi have in mind when he mentions this point in the Gemara's Teretz, in the second svar of the Gemara, that Lomatzi Adura, Sofa Kroy, everyone hear very, very well the problem in the Rashi, right? Should bother everybody. So Maram Shif has an interesting Peshat. Again, you have to know the implications of this Peshat. And the Shita mentions such a svara also, but he doesn't say it within Rashi, he says something else within Rashi. And that is another thought. There's a lot of possible svaras to read in the Gemara, Kirat Sarah Hanacha. So he, we have to know if we ever do more with this, but this is a svar that he suggests. If you want to look at it, you can look at it with me, look at the Maram Shif, turn to the Maram Shif, we'll read it. Okay? Everyone has a Maram Shif, right? In the Gemara. Okay, so take a look. The Rashi b'divrei Hamashchil l'matzi l'adurei sovel kol l'shirayim. Lo miyushev hachlishna mishas akira sovel l'nuach b'ilei shirayim mayavidite. The language of Rashi is not settled. What it should have said was, Rashi should have said, mishas akira sovel l'nuach. Why bring the shirayim? The point that distinguishes this case from the case of Rav Chisda is that here it's going to lead to Hanacha, there it's not going to lead to Achil. What is Rashi? And therefore, here you're Pater for the Shirayim, and here you're Chayiv for the Geneva. What does Rashi mention, Sofa Kromo Shirayim? Everyone has the Maram Shif? Now he suggests a possible Pshat. At the end, he doesn't think Rashi means it. The Af Sheyesh Lomar, the following, that Rashi has to say this because he understood Pshat in Gemara a certain way, and based on that, Rashi needed to accommodate another issue that he had to answer for, which is again why he felt it's too much reading too much into Rashi. The Af Sheyesh Lomar, the Im Chiyuv Misa. I want to give credit, Isaac, you're machaving to this Maram Shif, correct? This morning, and the Af Sheyesh Lomar, the Im Chiyuv Misa, Maskel Tekef Mishas Akira, the Havi Kiilu Nach. In other words, what's the pshat? Akira tzarach hanacha. Lo matzi meheder. So one way to think about it, again, one way among many, is that the chiyuv misa is already here. The chiyuv misa is already here from the beginning. From the time of Akira, which you can't change anything once you shot the arrow, so then it's ki'ilu nach. Because lo matzi meheder. And if that's true in Cain, Chiv Tashum and Boachakach. So then, again, they're not Bevasachas, because the Tashum came subsequent to the Chiv Nisa, Velo Mifta Mitam Kamadrab Mine, Elm Kim Boyan Kachad Mamish. So what have we solved? By saying Omatzila Me'adure, you still don't have the Vasachas, because now you put the Chiyav Misa in the beginning, at the time of the Akira, but the Chiyav Mamon therefore is after. And he quotes the Tosis, which we'll get to. So what did Rashi have to answer for that point? Oh, but the answer is the same way, by the same token. I think it happened yesterday to this far, right? Also. Eta, no? Someone said yesterday also. So what does he say? Rashi needs to add, but if you argue that the Chiyav Misa is already here from the beginning, so is the Chiyav Mamon from the beginning. In other words, whatever is inevitable from the shooting arrow is already here at the time of the Akira. So therefore, it is B'Vasachas. What's B'Vasachas? The Chiyav Misa, B'Shas Akira, and the Chiyav Mamon, B'Shas Akira. And that's what Rashi needed to say. Sofer Lanuach is taken for granted. Sofer Lanuach. But if Sofer Lanuach is, therefore, Chiyav Misa is here now, so what about the Chiyav Mamon? Only later. So how have you solved the problem? Why are you putter from the Mazik? The answer is because Sofer Kroh HaShirayin. So it's all here from the beginning. So he suggests such a pshat, but then, and again, the Shita mentions it not within Pshat Rashi, but as a svar in its own right, that it's all here now. Mikol Mokom Ein Nirish Niskavin Rashi L'kach. He still doesn't think that Rashi meant this. But at least there's something to say for Rashi. Rashi is difficult. So I want to talk about another possible Pshat Rashi we'll see now in the Shita. Eitan question.
Doesn't that mean when Rashi says Sofer Kroh HaShirayin, it means that...
In addition to Sofer Lanuach.
You know, he's chayiv now because it's so...
Yeah, but when you say chayiv, you have to understand. I mean, even saying it's chayiv now, does that mean... I don't know if there's any nafkamina, but I mean, is he really chayiv now? It means that we treat it as if the chayiv is chal right now. On the lumbish level, come and drive me, it's treated like the chiyav misa is here. Yeah, it doesn't mean mamish, but poel, you know. But it's treated as if that's the time that is chayav. Yeah.
Possibly be that Rashi's explanation is that maybe that the arrow is not going to hit the shirayim, and therefore, if it doesn't hit the shirayim, just like he may not.
Yeah, but,
eat the food that he stole. And
yeah, but it's not so, because Rashi does say Sofer Kroh HaShirayin. Rashi seems to say it is going to hit.
As to avoid our Havamina to understand, that maybe it wasn't going to possibly...
You're raising an interesting issue. We don't really know the case exactly, but suppose, I'm thinking right now along with you. Consider a case like this. Person shoots an arrow, and while the arrow is on its way, somebody sticks out, you know, or somebody's clothing, it happens to fall down, you know, it wasn't there before, but in the pathway of the arrow, but it sort of, you know, it suddenly fell down, and a person is chayv, even if it's a shogig, right? He's still mazik, so it wasn't necessarily intended. You have these types of shows by Kiran and Nachin Shabbos, but it only became part of the path of the arrow subsequent to the releasing of the arrow. So would Rashi still be saying, making me think about this question, Sofer Kroh HaShirayin? Hanacha, you can say without a doubt, Sofer Lanuach. But Sofer Kroh HaShirayin is only the case if it was in the way from before. And even then, theoretically, it could maybe have been, you know, maybe it could have been swayed by the wind or whatever. So even then, you don't even know for sure. So how could Rashi say with certainty, Sofer Kroh HaShirayin? That's the Stamakash. Anyway, you understand Rashi's, how could Rashi say those words? And the answer could be that it doesn't really matter if it's Sofer Kroh HaShirayin. What matters is Sofer Lanuach. And if it's Sofer Lanuach, then we say Akira Tzorach Hanacha. If we say Akira Tzorach Hanacha, then you're Chayav and Mazik, because it's the Vasachas. And it doesn't matter whether... I didn't see anyone... I'm sure maybe someone's heard this question. Is who told Rashi, Migila L'Rashi, Razeh, this secret that Sofer Kroh HaShirayin? I mean, how do I know? I mean, how do you know exactly how it happened? Rav Avin didn't tell us that she ran away in the way from the beginning. I don't know.
It's like the case of the Ramban where that a guy's sleeping and put the kiyum around him when he had to sleep.
Yeah, that's because he's at fault. But I don't have to give a case like that. First of all, that's from a chokas. In any case, if it's onus gamur, are you putter? If you're an onus gamur, is that called an onus gamur? So let's say you could have been aware that it's possible, all right? So you're not an onus gamur. When you shot the arrow, you knew that it could very likely hit the target along the way, go rip right through those clothing on the clothesline, whatever, and continue on. And but it might miss, you know, and it could depend on based on gravity and on the winds, the particular winds, and that. I mean, I don't know the physics of an arrow, you know, going through the air exactly, vis-a-vis, you know, positioning of it. I don't think it's so hard to conjure up a case where it's not inevitable that it's going to do, but it could be, and you could have known about it, so you could certainly not be an onus gamur. I mean, so then the question is, first of all, why did Rashi have to say it? That's what we started with. But has Rashi know? If Rashi needed it, how did Rashi know? And again, without Rashi, I wouldn't have the problem, because it doesn't matter if it's inevitable on the Kriyas Shirayim. What matters is that it's inevitable that there'll be a Chiyuv Nisa, in which case you're potter for the Mazik that you would otherwise be Mechayev. And that's all I need to know, that's all I need to say. So you're just sort of bringing the Kasha to another level. Indeed, how do we know some of good? I don't know. It's an interesting har. What do you think? Yeah, great.
Just, follow up. And just to add on to that, then, how do we also know that there's going to be a hanacha post?
No, that's pretty obvious because gravity, right? That's
that. Turns a non-makom dog.
Yeah,
that falls over.
The level of crocodile.
You'll come back. What? No, it's gonna go. No, No, okay. No. First of all, yeah, that's already yeah. I hear you. Yeah, okay, it could land in that place. It's not Makom Dalet. Okay, but that you could, yeah. That you know, given a situation, you can, you know, you could maybe figure out the case is not that way, that it's going to be nach on, you know, on the ground or whatever. Yeah. I hear that. Okay. Yeah, Yoni.
Would it be impossible to say that the shur was on the ground when he shot the arrow? It had anach and the tearing
was
from.
Oh,
just on the chaso.
Yeah. Okay, so okay. I mean, the lashon of the Gemara, b'halichasa. Yeah.
What would be the chiddush?
Well, if it was on the shear, then it's mamash basachas. Right. That wouldn't help you. You're saying, but like right above it, whatever, a second before. If it doesn't sound like b'halichasa means while it's, you know, while it's in the air. Yeah. So look, it's a good ha'ara. I didn't see anyone asking you, but it's a good ha'ara in Rashi. Has Rashi know it's for sure going to be hesek? Yeah.
So maybe Lefira, that daf gets to be the case going to Rashi. Because let's say the case was, if it fell, maybe that wouldn't be
Chayim. So, Halacha Lamaisa, according to Rashi, saying the din would be different. According to the Lishna Basra, the Gemara, you know, it's inevitable there'll be a Hanacha, but it's not inevitable that there'll be a Hezek. So then, according to Rashi, it'd be Chayim for the Hezek. That's what you're suggesting. It's a big Chiddush. It's a tremendous chiddush, and so Rashi needed to assume this way and interpret the case that way.
Yeah.
Okay, and even though it doesn't say that in the Gemara, okay, it's quite a chiddush. Striking. What does the Shita say? Pshat Rashi. Yeah, good to know. The Shita is also bothered, as everybody is, by Rashi. And let's take a look. Here he brings another point in, which we'll see in other Rishonim as well, discuss this possibility, namely. Does the Lishna Basra differ with the Lishna Kama on the merits of the Lishna Kama? Or is it only being Mosif another variable? In other words, according to the first distinction of the Gemara, what differentiates Rav Chisda from Rav Ovin is the fact that Akira is necessary for Chiyuv of Hanach. Yefshu Hanach Abu Akira, and Agbah is not is indispensable. It's not indispensable. You can have Akira without Agbah. The second Teretz says the chiluk lies in the fact that here it's irreversible and there it's not irreversible. So according to the second teretz, do we also accept the first distinction? But he's building on top of that, but you have to also add another point. In order to say akira tzarech hanacha, you have to also accept the other variable that it's irreversible. Or is he saying it in lieu of the first teretz? In other words, what matters is not the question of whether it's necessary or not. Hagbah is not necessary, but that wouldn't be enough to say a distinction. What makes a difference is because it's irreversible. Is the second teretz saying an independent distinction, or is it adding another variable separate from what was said already until now, which he accepts? So we'll see other Rishonim also discuss this. The Shita right now is assuming, because he says the Lashon of Rav Ovin, which seem to clearly suggest the point of the first teretz, akira tzarech hanacha. So he assumes now that it has to relate to the point that Kira is necessary. So you can't get away from that. Says the Shita, Ode Reliva Hu Nachum. The Vadai Taima the EF Shal Kira below Anacha, the Duchte Koi. That remains in place. That's not being challenged by the second Teretz. I feel the Basra. Okay, the Ka'amar. I mean, see the paragraph that I'm reading from? Bring the Kovitz with you to share if you can. Ode Nirulibe Hu Nachum. It's the second Shita on the Mamakomas Shita. The paragraph begins Ode Nirulibe Hu Nachum. If you don't have a Shita, you can look on. The Vade time of the Yefshal Kibbalah Nacha Beduchte Koi. What's Beduchte Koi? It's in its place. It's not being challenged. Rafi Ladush the Basra. Okay, they come every of it. Behedya Shakir Tarachanachi. Ella, the Belish the Basra Savrina Lemema. Within the second Russian, we are also saying the Ahi the Kriyas Shiroyim, the case of Ravavin, Lo Sagi Bahi Taima, the Yefshal Bakir Below Anach. The fact that you have to first accept the point of Ef Shanach Blo Kira, that's a given. And that's what the words are indicating. But that's not enough. To say Kom Domine, that's not enough. Why? And this is very much resonating with some of the ideas that we've been toying with so far in this Izan Yanin. Why is it not enough to just say the fact that Ef Shanach Blo Kira Below Anacha? The ripping is a separate inyan, mazik. It's not. It's not bound up by its own identity, by its own nature, with the ma'isa melachas Shabbos. It's a ma'isa mazik. It's a separate inyan. Umisa lo asile mishum mamona, v'lo mamona mishum misa. It's not like ochel trumas shel chavero and you're a zar, but you could say it's like you're saying misa mamli echad. It's the same maisa that he ate truma of the other person is chayiv misa. Here they converge, but it's artificially because of the case. He's being over Melechus Shabbos, and he's also being mazik with the arrow. I mean, it is one maisa in a way. Understand it. It is one maisa in a sense. It's the arrow that he was oker and he was maniach and was mazik. I mean, you could have conceived of another case, and we'll have to deal with this. Haflai raises the case: a person shoots an arrow. Before the arrow landed, he has somebody's garments right next to him, and he rips it. Interesting. No, that Rav Avin didn't talk about. Something to think about. Rav Avin talked about a case that the arrow ripped the garments. And now the case that I gave you now is clearly two separate mice. The case of the arrow, it's the arrow that caused the hezek. But even so, says the Shita, it's still separate. The Kriya Shirayim is a separate inyan. It's lo shayach the misa. Misa lo asvile mishum amona bo amona mishum misa. Hilkach be'inan taima shakir tzarech hanacha hi kedei lagdume chiyav ha-misa. Shakir tzarech hanacha is helping us to say the chiyav misa is already here beforehand. Because already the akira has started. And akira is for the sake of the hanacha, and akira is necessary for the hanacha v'chul. But still, says the second answer of the Gemara, we need another variable in order to allow for Kamad Rabbeinu to work. Why? We also need the reason that you can't take the arrow back. In order to what? To create a tziruf between the two chiyuv. Because it's an artificial association. So what is it that allows this to become more that the chiyuv mamon is together, that it's mitzuraf? The fact that in this maisa that has in it two separate inyanim, in this akira of the arrow, the zrika of the arrow, the shooting of the arrow has two separate inyanim here. The melechus Shabbos of the arrow that's going to end up in hanacha, and the hezek that it causes along the way. So what allows us to be mitzuruf? So again, the chiyam nisa can be seen already as existing because of the kirat zarach hanacha. What's mitzaref? The misa, the mum and the chiyam mum with the chiyam nisa? The fact that umatziladure, because the case is closed, the box is closed, it's all going to happen. So what is the purpose of the second answer of the Gemara? To allow there to be a tziruf between the chiyav mam and the chiyav misa. Skip to the next paragraph. Now he says another pshat, and then but he comes back and he says the next paragraph, umiyu, mai de parishna velishna kama hu yosef nachon, that's the pshat that we just read. V'hachi daika lashon rashi. Now Mamish deals with our Rashi. And that's the deal lashon rashi, shekosav. The obvious question, why are you bringing in the Sofa Kroa? You should say Sofa Lanuach. Why did Rashi bring it in? So he says, Meduyik in Rashi, because Rashi understood that the second reason is really only necessary in order to create the tziruf between the Chiyav Mamon and the Chiyav Misa. So the fact that Tzilumatzila Dure is a svara that allows us to see the Chiyav Mamon as an mitzuruf with the Chiyav Misa. So Rashi had to discuss the Chiyav Mamon in that connection. So the advantage of the second answer is that the tziruf is seen as a stronger connection, stronger tziruf between them. So we have to discuss the fact that through this irreversible act of shooting the arrow, everything is already clear that it's going to happen, and that's why the Chiyav Misa has the Chiyav Mamon Mitzuraf with it. That's why the Mitzuraf. It's creating a Tziruf. So Rashi needed to discuss the implications for the Hezek. That's what he's suggesting for Rashi. Interesting. Yeah.
The one thing I'm not clear about is how is it built off of the further the Lishna Kama?
The Lishna Kama is saying one point. That the Chiyav Misa, you know, if the Chiyav Misa would be seen as residing at the point of the Hanacha, then you can't get the square one. Then clearly the Chiyav Mamon precedes the Chiyav Misa. Again, if the Chiyav Misa is rooted in the point of the Hanacha, and you don't see the Chiyav Misa as already here in some way or form, some again, Mlamdish away, as earlier, then you don't have a basic Kamed Rabbeinu, because all you see is Chiyav Misa at the end, at the Hanacha point. And the Chiyav Mamon clearly is before. So the answer is, Akir Tzarech Hanacha allows us to be Magdim the Chiyav Misa. But still, says the Shita, there's another problem according to the Lishna Basra that hasn't been addressed. Namely, I understand you Magdim the Chiyav Misa, but how do you have a Tziruf here between the two Inyanim? The Chiyav Mamon is a separate Inyan. What makes it mitzuraf to the Chiyav Misa? The answer is because it's lo matzila dure, so since this Chiyav Mamon took place in the context of a Chiyav Misa, and what got the ball rolling or the arrow shooting was a situation that now it's all clearly inevitable, it's all going to happen. That itself is a tziruf. The fact that they're both, their fates are linked. The Mamon's Hezek and the Chiyav Shabbos are both irreversible. That fact is enough to create the Tziruf, and that allows the Chiyav Misa to have the Chiyav Mamon. So the Chiyav Misa has to be brought earlier, that's a Kirat Tzarech Hanacha. But the Tziruf, Shebeinayim, that the Misa can pat to the Mamon, that's a function of the second Lashon of the Gemara. And for Rashi is alluding to that by saying, so the Kroa Shirayim, so I have a Tziruf here. Again?
No, it says, why does it be built off the EF Sharlakir below Anacha? Why does it be built off that? It seems like it's built off the first line.
Which one?
Go near Leva Hunacha. The Vadai Taima the EF Shar.
The Duchte Kai. And he's saying that reason is in place. That reason is true, and you need that for one in order to make the Chiyav Misa exist earlier.
Isn't that the Kir Tzorach Hanacha? Isn't that what it's for? Not because of the second answer.
Yeah, no, he's learning now that the Yefshe Kir Hanacha is a Kir Tzorach Hanacha. He's reading that into the words. I know what's bothering you, and I have this problem too. In other words, the way I was suggesting yesterday, maybe it's not correct. I was thinking that the Kir Tzorach Hanacha has two meanings. We had in the other sheet. It means you're doing it for the sake of Hanacha, it's your das. And Akir Tzorach Hanacha is EF Tzorach Hanacha B'lo Akira. I was suggesting yesterday that Akira Tzorach Hanacha, in the sense that I'm doing it for the sake of Hanacha, that remains the meaning of the words. From this shita, it suggesting that once we give the teretz of the Gemara, that EF Tzorach Hanacha B'lo Akira, that becomes clearly the meaning of the words Akira Tzorach Hanacha. So that's different than what I was saying. Unless you tell me that it means both. You know, it means that you did it for the Hanacha and the point that in Nachabuachir, all that is conceded by the Lishta Basa, because you can't read anything else into the words. You can't read the second distinction into the words. I mean, either way, the point is the same, that he has to concede Akir Tzorach Hanacha doesn't mean the fact that it's irreversible. So Akir Tzorach Hanacha means something which is necessary on one level to allow for coming drama minay. But the second lashon says you need something more. And what is it that's missing? What he needs something more about? That's the significance of this pshat that he's saying for Rashi. What's missing is that with everything you say, Akir Tzorach Hanacha can mean everything you want to put into it. But it's still not enough, because the Chiyuv Mamon is not mitzuraf with the Chiyuv Nisa. So that's what the second variable is helping us for, to see them as the fact that they're both in the state of inevitable consequence, that they're both going to happen. So even though the moment is what is separate from the misa, but it's not separate, because their fates are linked. They're both going to happen as a result of what the one misa that you did. Again, consider the case that I gave you, which we'll come back to, the Aflos Kasha. And you can argue already very much why Rav Avin didn't take that case. Consider that. What happened? A person shot an arrow, and before the arrow landed, he was mazik with his own hands. Rav Avin didn't talk about that case. What would you say? Kir Tzorach Hanacha and his partner, or would he be chayiv? You already have an inkling of what in this shita you can begin to think about, that maybe here, even though what? Even though the arrow might end up, for sure, landing where it does, but it doesn't create the tzira for the mamon, clearly, right? But even without all this Torah, you can argue that maybe that's different. It's two separate meisim. It's clearly two separate meisim also. There's a lot of reasons to distinguish, and aspects that distinguish the case that I am mazik someone's clothing before the arrow landed, or the arrow was mazik the clothing before it landed. There's a lot of aspects that distinguish the cases. Aria.
Yeah, is the Shita just saying that their fates are linked, or that actual heel? Actual chiyuv takes place at the same time
we begin. He doesn't say exactly that. Yeah. I see it in terms of the Lumdisha connection. I don't think he's not saying
actual chiyuv happens at the beginning.
I hear what you're saying. I don't see that in the words so well. And if anything, I can even prove to you, if you give me a minute, that he doesn't mean that, because I'll show you something interesting. The next pshat of the shita that he says, I don't think that that's correct. I like the first pshat better, and that fits with Rashi. So you know the lines, the couple lines that we skipped. He seems to say something along the lines that you just said, but he doesn't want to say that in Rashi. It's ironic. See, right after the first part of the paragraph, he continues. He says maybe something else. Pick up from where we left off in that first paragraph. I just read it quickly, just to hear the gist of it. We need two reasons for the following logic. The time of the Akira Tzorach Hanacha, lo matzino elad mishimachi havi Akira tzad chiyuv misa. Miu, you have a tzad chiyuv misa. Miu, akati ikro meimah danan b'ina detiktom nami ha'anacha. But I need the Hanacha to come first, not the tzad chiyuv misa. I need the Hanacha to come first. And it comes together. The chiv is the hanacha. Everything follows the ending. Which is helping for what reason? So by saying Amat Fedure, it's now making as if the Hanacha was here already. This sounds a little bit like who? Like the Maram Shif, yeah? The Asya Badichi of Mamu. So he's saying, do you need that spark to make it that the Hanacha came first? Hanacha was here already. And it comes together. But then he says, maybe that reason would be enough. Kim de akir shivet poel kodem uchiyav amamon lahavi tzadchi of misa. I'm not sure how to be right now. Hechik kinem de mishmul. Okay. In any case, we could have said that, but then he says, no. I'll tell you the first pshat is better, and that fits with Rashi. No, the second pshat is suggesting that the hanacha is here already. Sounds like the chiyu is mamish here, but this pshat is not saying it. This pshat is saying that the chiyav misa is here, but not the hanacha is here. The chiyav misa is, I can see the chiyav misa is there. So the tziruf, I think, is more in terms of the chiyav misa of later. Again, this is what I want to say. The chiyav misa of later pat is the chiyav mamon of before. I understand. The chiyav misa doesn't exist until later. The hanacha was later. Well, but the chiyav misa of later is able to pater the chiyav mamon of before because it's mitzuraf. Because the context of the emergence of the chiyav misa and that of the chiyav mamon are wrapped together. And what variable is critical to create that context? Without it, you don't have enough of a context to be mitzaref them. The fact that it's irreversible. That's why I say the fates are linked. In other words, that it's irreversible, that they're both going to happen as a result of the shooting the arrow. Therefore, the mitzuraf, therefore the chiyav misa that comes when it comes later, in certain senses, here already, before that, you can see the chiyav mamon as having a shaychus with it, because since it's all going to happen, so therefore the chiyav mamon and the chiyav misa are closely linked, and therefore you sikum
adamine. So it's not that the akira has some like significance halakhically as well, and so if hagbal put the achila, if hagbal was inevitable,
that's right.
So
that
would be the same thing.
Except that. Remember, he's saying you'd still have to say the first point. You have to say the chimisa is already here on some level because ef shalachabu akira. He's saying that the second reason still works on top off of the first reason. So therefore, the case of Hagba would not work for the fact that it fails the first test. You know, you still have to bring the Chiyav Misa earlier. And that's because Yef Shilonach Abu Akira. But then you also need the Mitzarif there. Yeah. I mean, you could have maybe started thinking, you know, separate from that. Maybe even, like you're saying, even without the first point. But he wants to work it with, you know, as building off of the first spot. What we said, you know, earlier today and yesterday, this is a little bit like the language of Tziruf. Again, I'm not saying the Shita means it, and I'm not saying I have to say everything the Shita said in order to say what I said before. But the notion that there has to be a Tziruf, these are Svaras that you see in the Shita, right? It's a notion of Tziruf, and what we're doing is creating a framework for a Tziruf. Could be even the first reason needs it. He's saying the first reason is needed for one reason, and the second reason is needed for another point. I mean, it could be that both reasons are creating a tziruf. When is there a tziruf? When you have a chiyuv, you did something which is a tnai in the chiyuv, which is a tnai in the chiyuv misa, then you can be considered that there's a tziruf. If you did something which is just a hechsher, that's not a tziruf. That's what I could say. He doesn't say. He says that you need the first reason, the chiyuv misa should come earlier. You need a second reason, there should be a tziruf between the two. Okay, Yehuda, two chavrus, let's go. Yehuda and Eitan, yeah. Either way. Whichever one. Yeah.
So I don't completely understand how this solves the problem, because I know I understand how it creates a tziruf and everything. But initially, in both the Halamina and the first Lishna, we were dealing with establishing the connection of the hero to everything else in regard to respect, not to the shirah,
Right. The first reason the Gemara had to make the Chiyav Misa in some way exist earlier,
yeah.
To bring it earlier. Yeah.
Yeah. And also the first solution. Right. So then,
that's the first. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh no. Yeah. So then, basically, like the way that would work is basically it would be like one Misa thing, and you have the Kara Shirayin in the middle. But I don't understand why Rashi has to do this at this point. I mean, why is he changing it?
from Maisa Rechtel, Maisa Yudamin, that Kiddush, between the first lesson and the second lesson.
Again, what he's trying to say is that the second lesson of the Gemara feels that there's still something missing in the picture. Given the fact that the Chi of Mammon is a separate inyan, the Hezek is a separate inyan from the Chi of Misa, so he needs some other point to create that context, that's the tziruf between them. That's when the Chi of Misa can pat the Chi of Mammon. If you have the quote-unquote tziruf, the Mammon has to be tziruf with the Chi of Misa. That's what the fact that well, matzi ladure, well, matzi mahadur accomplishes for us. That's all. That's the point that he's saying, Pshat and Rashi. So for, Rashi needed to discuss the Shirayim. Rashi needed to discuss, so because that's the whole point of the second answer. It's not just about the Hanacha being inevitable, it's about the fact that they're both going to happen as a result, and that's what creates the Tziruf. If it's about the Tziruf, then you have to talk about the Shirayim as well.
No, I understand.
Okay, so what's bothering you?
I know, I understand that the second Mishnah is more strict and it wants to make a bigger tzibur right. And everything like that.
Yeah.
However, why couldn't it just, because with the flow of the Gemara was it was trying to be focusing on the Akira. So I'm saying, why couldn't it just be that according to the way Shmuel Bez is explaining the second Mishnah,
yeah.
The first Mishnah, then what's the difference between it? Because he's just saying, what you're saying isn't tzibur, that's in the second Mishnah, it is a tzibur.
Yeah, that's why I say I would argue possibly, I mean, I would depart from the script of the Shita. In other words, I could have said, how I first learned the Gemara earlier, that basically both reasons are relating to the same issue. We have to create a framework that's Mitzarif, Techiv, Misa, Chiv, Mammon, and then you could say that the Mammon is Mitzurif to the Chiv, Misa. And the first lesson says the framework is enough to define it in terms of X, namely the fact that the Akira is already essential, and Yudere did an essential part of the Malacha, without which you couldn't have the Malacha done. And that's when you could say that the Chi of Mammon came into being at a point that you've already done the Maisa that starts that starts the Chi of Shabbos. That's the Tziruf. The Tziruf comes about because of the fact you did an Akira, which is not just a Hechshir for the Malacha, it's part of the Malacha. And in the case of Chizda, you don't have enough of a mitzareif because the Hagbah is only a hechsher for the Isser, and you don't even need it. And the second reason is giving it a different logic to create the framework of Tziruf. Now, the Shita doesn't say that. The Shita learns that the second reason is there to create a Tziruf. And the first reason is there to Lagdumi Chi of Misa. I would take the second part of the Shita and I would basically put it back in the Gemara in the first lesson. I could just basically say both the Shonas are there to create framework to create a Tziruf. I'm not saying, what I said is not exactly what the Shita is saying, I don't fully understand it, but he says, the first lesson is in order to make the Chi of Misa ready here, from before. But that second lesson is that's not enough, because you still need the Chi of Mitzvah with the Chi of Misa. And therefore comes the second reason and says what it says. And then he says it works with Rashi. Eitan?
Yeah, so isn't the Havar part of the Malach also?
Okay, so that's a big Shaila. Rav Chaim is not so sure, but others think it is. Yeah, that's a big Shaila. Whether Havara is part of, you remember from last year? Yeah, it's
your Shaila. Like, what?
Says the Kar Shiran. No, Kar Shiran is Bab Nafshi. Bab Nafshi means it's not part of, it's not Shaykh to the Melech Shabbos. It's a separate Indian, you're Mazik. It's not like, see, if a person eats Truma, Shel Chaveiro, then you see how there's an inherent Tziruf in that. There's an inherent Tziruf. He ate the Truma of someone else. The Truma he's eating belongs to someone else. He's taking that, and he's also eating something he's not allowed to eat. They're inherently mitzuref. Here, Mazik, this guy, and he's doing chiv. I'm not talking misos among lezet terminology, but it's still in some way. It's to the extent that they're not mamish bevasachas. To that extent, the fact that they're not, it's like a miso lezem mamon lezet according to Rashi, the miso leshemayim and mamon lechaveru. So, even though in terms of miso lezem mamon lezet, Tosus doesn't accept that as an application, right? But in a situation where the timing is off, that becomes a problem, because that it creates a greater rift between the two chiyuv. Number one, the timing is off. Number two, this is a ma'isa mazik. This is a ma'isa chilu Shabbos. So mehecha teisa chilu Shabbos is patrin achiyuv mamun that didn't come at the same time. And this is one inyan. There's another inyan. They're not coming as one. And the more extreme case is a case where I'm mazik myself, which again, that's perhaps everyone would agree that you don't say akir tzarach hanach. I still have to discuss that. And why that should be. Could think of different reasons. But that's a different case. It wasn't discussed. But even this case, says the Shita, it's also like a separate inyan. You're mazik, and you're b'chal Shabbos. Why is there a tzirif? And they're not coming at the same time. True, you have to do akira to be chayef for Shabbos, and that you've done. But lemaisa, and you can say that kira raised tzorach hanacha. But the fact is, what? See, he also was mazik, but that wasn't exactly the same time. The answer is no, but it's enough. The tzirif is here because they are both inevitable consequences of the shooting the arrow. They're both inevitable consequences, and it's sofol kroh shirayim, as Rashi says, and therefore that's called that the bevasachas.
Just to respond to him, when we say by Hamadik and Sakadish, you can't have one without the other. Lighting the fire is the Havara and the Nizak, whereas here you could have
Right. Right. I mean, the truth is that the Rashba, that this is a separate point. It's Derech Agav. No. But there you don't need to come out today. There it's Mamish Vasachas, obviously. But the Rashba, Dafkin Chabez and Bava Kama asked the Kasha. But Hitzis Begufo Shalevet. So we say Kamadravine. So the Rashba says, but it's not the Vasachas, really. Because what happened, the Gadish didn't burn the same second that the Eved died. So you have to know what to do there. So you have to maybe think about Kiyot Tzarach Hanach. I don't know what you think, but Rashba asked that kasha there. What about timing? Let's begin to talk about the relationship between this part of Gemara and the Amud earlier, right? Namely, we have two reasons in the Gemara to distinguish between Rav Avin's case and Rav Chizkiah's case. Comes the Gemara with a nafkamina. If you go with the lashon of Ef Shalanach B'lo Akira, or the second lashon of Matzi Mahadila versus Lo Matzi Mahadila. Says the Gemara, my nafkamina, my ika ben hailishna hailishna, ika ben nayo hamavis sakin vishis harabin v'kar shirad balichasa. So instead of shooting an arrow, he is walking through Rishus HaRabim, and in that walking of Dalet Amis, he is going to be doing Melechus Shabbos by being Oker and Mimaniach when he starts to walk and when he stops walking, and he does four Amis in the middle. And as he's doing this trek of four Amis Rishus HaRabim, he's Karashiroi. So would that also be a basis to pater the Hezek based on Kamadravine? It depends on the two Lashonas. We say Akir Tzarach Hanachah here or not. Says the Gemara, according to the Lashon, that Ef Shal Hanachah Belo Akira. So that's all that you need to say. And therefore, Pat, Ef Shal Hanachah Belo Akira, the Hezek of the Shirayim took place in between Akira and Hanachah. But if they go with the Lashon of Matzi Mahadila, so only by the Chetz would you say Kamadravine, because Lo Matzi Mahadila. But over here, it would be chayev because matzi mahadila. It's not inevitable. It doesn't have to do a hanacha. You can stop before four amos, whatever it is. Says the Ritva, chayra, the Gemara could have said another nafkamina. What could the Gemara have said as another nafkamina between the two ishamas? What would happen if tachav lo chaveru l'toch piv? So somebody sticks something in his mouth, chaylev, of somebody else. Now, then he eats it. To leman da amar yefshu anocha below akira, if you go with the first lashon of the Gemara, that kumid ramine is applicable in the case of Rav Avin, because you need to have the akira. You can't have anocha without akira. So what would be over here? Hachinami. No, for achila to happen, you might not need hagbah, like the Gemara says. Then down. But it has to be in your mouth. Before it gets swallowed, it has to be in your mouth. So what would you say? Is the chiyuv, and you have to use the stomach, he means, and it's matzil adura. So you could say he should be a chayiv as a gazlin, let's say. But seemingly the chiyuv misa came when? Came later. But the achila presupposes that there had to be hachnasa l'toch piv. So what would be? Would he be chayiv for gzeila? For masik for gzeila? No. Why? Because here you have the same logic of akir tzarach hanacha. Here too, achila requires achnasa l'tochpim. Uleman da amar iboy ladure imatzi mahadale, but according to the second lashon, hachem machayt, imatzi mahadale. We're talking about a case of imatzi mahadale. So it's imatzi mahadale, so it's not inevitable that he's going to have the avera. He's not going to have, doesn't have to eat it, doesn't have to swallow it, and therefore, the chiyuv mamon came before the chiyuv mis, or the chiyuv kares, tom bechelav, the truma, whatever you want to say. In other words, seemingly the Gemara is another nafka mina, because the same way you say yefshel anacha below akira, you have yefshel achila below achnas elapiv. Says the Ritva, if that's the case, that's a real nafka mina. He accepts this. The sugyan de la'il. Why did the Gemara assume earlier, Amid earlier, that a case like this? Would it be Kavod Rabbanei or not say Kavod Rabbanei? The Gemara assumes that he's Chayiv Mamon before he's Chayiv Misav De Shamayim by the Truma. How could it be? You need to have Achnasa L'toch Piv in order to have Achila. So say Akira Tzorach Hanacha, or the analogous, you know, the being B'toch Piv is Tzorach of the achil of the bria. Piv is tzorach of the bria. You have to have that. The sugin de la'il ki hai lish nebasra. What do those words mean? The Gemara earlier that says that no, the chiyuv mamon came before the chiyuv misa is because you don't say rav oven here. Why? Because it's reversible. But imat ibay adway le'adure. So, but really, the real nafka mina. The Gemara doesn't take it because the Gemara wants to have a case that's comparable to the case of Rav Avin. So stick with an arrow, or stick with you know, a case of Karashirayin. So walk through a Shusha Rabin as opposed to shooting an arrow. But really, a nafka mina. Now, this is a very big inyan. We'll have to leave it a little more for tomorrow. The Rajba and the Ba'ah. Is this really true? Is this really enough? Is this really enough, Gemina? And this really, do we really have to tie the sugya earlier to the lashon of Ibai Ladure, of the second lashon over here? What do you see in this Ritva immediately? You have to see something important here. The Ritva is willing to apply the first lashon's premise of Efshar Anacha Bula Akira to the case of Efshar what? To Achila below. Now that's clearly true. And why should that matter? Because what makes Hagbah different is the fact that you don't need a Hagbah. But understand, on the Lamdisha level, are these identical? Is Akira vis-a-vis Hanacha the same thing as saying Piv vis-a-vis what? Vis-a-vis the Bria? How are they different? New Aaron, how are they different?
Akira letzar hanacha. Once it's akira, it means hanacha over here.
Now, I want something more, something very fundamental here that differentiates the cases. Yossi,
akira is part of the
machayev. Akira is by definition the malacha. The malacha has begun. Akira hanacha. This is the chiv of Shabbos. Here it's a technical impossibility to have akira. That he should be bolei achelev and not have it in his mouth. That's the way it works. That's what makes him chayiv. But it's not that the chayiv is defined as achnasa l'toch piv. So what this is assuming is that it doesn't have to say Rav Avin's Yisod, it doesn't have to be limited, and it doesn't have to be dafka because the fact that Akira is part of the chayiv of Melech Shabbos. It's just as well, just like the Gemara was asking originally, Hagbah Tzorach Achila. And the Gemara is answering, but Hagbah doesn't need to happen. So we take that literally. But what does need to happen would be enough to set in motion the basis of Kama D'Amrinan. So if you have to have Achnasa L'Toch Piv, so then you could basically be Pater from the Chiyav Mamon at that point, even though Matzi L'Adure. You could be Pater because this already needs to happen in order for it to be a Bliya. They have to go through Piv. So therefore, even though the Machayev is not being in your mouth, but the fact that it has to be that way, it can't be otherwise. You can't have the Chiyav of Achilas Chelov without it having first passed through your mouth. That's enough to allow, according to the first lashon of the Gemara, to say Kama D'Amrinan, and that's why the Ritva is assuming that the Gemara earlier had to go like the Lishna Basra here. But as we'll see for tomorrow, the Rashba says differently in the Gemara. And the Ra'ah seems to say this as well. Look at the Ra'ah. There's really the second Ra'ah that we have to do too. You can take a peek at it, even though it's again more later in the Gemara. They go together. According to the Rashba, the Gemara says Ibay Gachin, but it doesn't really mean literally that if I find something that you really need to have practically, that I would allow for saying that that thing is a tzorech for the other thing. If it's not really part of the Machayev, then it's not going to allow for the din of a Kirtzer HaNacha. So for the Rashba, you're going to end up saying that in the Gemara's first Teretz, we are actually assuming that what is necessary to allow for Kama D'Amrinan to apply, even though the timing is off, is the fact that the Machayev has actually been taken, an action that's part of the Machayev. Not just that you need to have it practically speaking, but specifically, Akira is the Malacha. What we were asking yesterday in the beginning of the Sugya, for the Rashba, that is essentially the first Teretz of the Gemara. It's, even though the Gemara says Ibaigachin, it's just a way of proving the point. But even if I find another situation, like over here, Hachnasa L'Toch Piv, and I'll have the fact that you have to do that, but that's still not good enough. And the Ra'ah holds otherwise, and the Ritva holds otherwise. So that we have to elaborate on, that's an interesting to discuss it. And then the Tosus, which takes us to a whole Gemara Bava Kama in terms of implications for that. And you'll be Medayik, Rabosai, on this question, the Rashba versus the Ra'ah. If you get to the Tosus, what does Tosus hold about this question? Is Tosus going to weigh in on that also in the case of an East Nisuch, about Nisuch by Menasech, by wine, by Hesek? Okay.